The topic is mindfulness, and mindfulness from the Buddhist perspective has a quite a broad-ranging perspective or definition, because it encompasses a variety of qualities, and those qualities are necessary because mindfulness is always seen in terms of the Eightfold Path. Right mindfulness is the seventh factor of the Eightfold Path. But even within mindfulness, then it has different elements that are required in order for it to be, say, sammasati, right mindfulness. So it ends up being nuanced, and that's really important because, you know, our tendency as human beings is to try to how do I bring it back down to one dimension so I don't have to think about it very much? But it's not really helpful because the aspect of mindfulness does need to encompass the different elements of the Eightfold Path in that one recognizes that it is a part of a path of practice, a path of training, for the purpose of freeing the heart from suffering, freeing the heart from dukkha, so that any mindfulness will necessarily have to have an element of sila, of virtue or integrity to it. There is a moral principle that needs to be fulfilled as well. I mean, it's similar to Ajahn Chah talking about the necessity of right mindfulness, in that saying that while if you just look at the mindfulness on its own, then a thief has to have really good mindfulness, otherwise they get caught. But that isn't a part of the path. Somebody who is a sniper or a hitman, they have to have really good mindfulness. But that's not part of the path. It's not part of the Buddha's goal. It's important to be able to recollect that, say, sati has a purpose. It has a goal, and then that in order, and that sense of recollection is also an intrinsic part of sati, the root word that was normally translated as mindfulness these days, sati. Its root has the same root in the scriptural language as, say, asanya, as perception, memory, and that's even when the Buddha talks about mindfulness. Sometimes in the scriptures, one of the ways that he describes it is that one is able to remember and recollect things that one has learned or that one has experienced. And it is that recollection that lifts experience up into the mind and then allows us to reflect on it skillfully, so that mindfulness from the Buddha's perspective or goal is part and parcel of freedom from suffering, learning how to develop this quality of clarity, of alertness, of presence of mind, that is also somewhat reflective. I mean, it is a part. So that, say, like in the Buddha's most frequent, say, how he describes mindfulness, say like in the Satipatthana, the foundations of mindfulness, and whenever he describes it, say those foundations of mindfulness are concerned with our experience, experience of body, of feeling, of mind, and of mental phenomena. So that one needs to be turning attention and recollecting, reflecting, in order to understand our experience. And then when the Buddha kind of describes the qualities of mindfulness, then there are four particular words or descriptions that he uses, and in the Pali it's the atapi sampajano satima vinaya lokeya bijato manasa, and it's very important to recognize that mindfulness is a composite of these different qualities and applications of the mind. Atapi has a connotation of mindfulness, of effort, and Ajahn Jeff translates it as ardent, which is a good translation. In the Thai, it's maybe described as opposed to defined, but it is the effort that is for the say burning up of defilements, or the going against the kind of obstructions within them, obscurations within the mind, within the heart, and that requires effort. So that sense of atapi, applying an effort, an ardency, a kind of there's an assiduous application of one's attention. The next quality, atapi sampajano, and that's usually translated as clear comprehension. Ajahn Jeff translates it as alert. That clear comprehension is, say, the mindfulness that is applied to the, it's not mindfulness isolated. It is mindfulness that is recognizing the situation that one's in, so that one's actions of body, speech, and mind are appropriate to that situation, to the person that one is engaged with, to the actual, say, time and place, because one can interact with the same person, but it could be a different occasion or a different time, and one can't just apply some abstract idealization of what an interaction should be. There needs to be this mindfulness that recognizes human beings they're changing, their moods change, their perspectives change, the situation changes. It could be a friend that you're engaging with. And if you're in a familiar situation, in a somewhat intimate setting, then you interact in a particular way. I mean, it's just very comfortable. If the person is in a public situation, even though they're your friend, you have to respect that situation. That requires clear comprehension. So there's a certain discernment, and that's something in the Visuddhimagga. When Acharya Buddhaghosa say, defines or describes. Clear comprehension, one of the ways it's described is as it is an application of wisdom, of discernment. Quality of satimas, or like possessed of mindfulness, or aware. One is aware, one is present. One isn't kind of drifting, and there is a continuity of awareness and a kind of presence of mind, a clarity of attention that's able to direct itself to what it's experiencing. The last quality is a quality that vinaya lokeya bichato manasan. So it's like the leading, so mindfulness is for the leading away from, leading out from the kind of likes and dislikes that we have toward the world, or the kind of the desires and the aversions that we have toward the world. So those are qualities that compose mindfulness. So these different elements are all mindfulness. So that trying to define mindfulness as just one thing is not really what the Buddha is doing. He's pointing to qualities of mind that need to be cultivated and developed. One needs to be able to step back from the various things that stain our attention and awareness in order to be, say, mindful and aware. So it's all part of mindfulness. And it is an ongoing training. It is an ongoing cultivation that is extremely important to the path. And I think also in terms of, say, like mindfulness, a function of mindfulness in its larger context of the, say, like the four foundations of mindfulness. One is mindful of body, mindful of feeling. There's that pleasant, painful, neither pleasant nor painful feeling of mind in terms of the content of the mind, and then the mental phenomena, Dhamma, which is both the wholesome and unwholesome qualities and characteristics of the mind, states of the mind. The function of mindfulness is really to bring one to a place of seeing more clearly how all of these things that compose our human experience are, they're impermanent, they're changing, they're inconstant, they are fraught with dissatisfaction, dis-ease, discontent, fraught with suffering. But probably more importantly, that we're mindful of them as phenomena. We see it clearly because of mindfulness. And the more clearly it's seen, the more one recognizes that it is not self. This is not me. This is not mine. This is not what I am. It is an experience. It is a phenomenon. It is something that that affects us, impacts us, but it's not something to create an identity with or out of. So that where it's mindfulness that is able to recognize and to have a taste of the fruit of not self. So that's a kind of an overview of sati, of mindfulness.